You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Beam me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, DA, I'm thirsty, man. Could you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, DA, what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
DA, what's the silly old permission to get in that mothership?
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, DA? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Good, have a good day. We appreciate you being with us. We're happy to be here every single weekday morning, 6 until 10 Eastern Time, 3 until 7 Pacific, on the ever-expanding CBS Sports Radio Network. And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need an expert to help navigate the home loan process, Rocket can. Coming your way in 20, we are taking out the trash. So what's bugging you? Tweet at me, DA on CBS, or on the phones, 855-212-4CBS. In 40 minutes, what happened at Oklahoma for Cale Gundy to be forced to resign? We'll address that coming up later on in the hour. In Foxborough, things are ugly right now with the offense. Now, it's only August the 9th. No preseason games under their belt yet. We know that the Patriots don't grade themselves on how they look in the preseason, how they look in training camp, how they look in August. This is all about when games matter, late season, big matchups, and where they end up finishing in the division. And as we all know, the Patriots define themselves by getting to the playoffs and winning championships, not how the offense looks in early August. But I want to read to you a series of tweets from yesterday of people covering Patriots camp. This is from Phil Perry, who covers the Patriots. Patriots defense is running roughshod over the offense. Highlights for that side were sacks by Christian Barmore and Matt Judon during a third down period. Offense looks broken. Can't protect. Losing one-on-ones. Blitzes getting through. No run game. Miscommunication on routes. Okay, now Phil is usually a pretty optimistic Patriots reporter. Here is Zach Cox, who covers the Patriots for Nesson. Okay, again, a local Boston outlet, New England Sports Network. Mac Jones took the first 20 reps in 11-on-11 drills, staying in even after the Patriots rotated out their offensive line regulars, and it's been ugly. A quarter of those reps resulted in a sack or a scramble. Four sacks and a scramble one, and all six completions were within a few yards of the line of scrimmage. So Mac Jones in there, and in the first 20 reps in 11-on-11, was sacked four times, forced to scramble once, and the six completions he had were all little dump-offs around the line of scrimmage. Okay. Next up, this is from Mike Reese, who covers the Patriots for ESPN. ESPN Boston, again, usually a pretty optimistic Patriots reporter. One thought after watching the Patriots offense look efficient in 7-on-7, but struggle notably in multiple 11-on-11s, might be time to give Dante Scarnecchia a call for an independent evaluation. Scarnecchia was a longtime offensive line coach for the Patriots, was there throughout all the glory years, ultimately retired and is now a consultant, kind of swoops in every so often to grade out the Patriots line. And finally, Tommy Curran, who covers the Patriots for NBC Sports Boston, who has joined this show many times over. Patriots' number one offense today has been distressingly bad. Run stuffs, aborted plays, would-be sacks, distressed lobs into traffic just to get the ball out. Beginning to feel it's less the new offense and more the post-Scar cycle of offensive line coaches, Scar being Scarnecchia, they are perpetually overwhelmed. Couple of thoughts on this. Before you go, oh, DA's just a Patriots hater. This is why he's doing this segment. This is what happens occasionally in training camp early on when the defense is ahead of the offense and all of these guys are watching the same thing. You know, they're all reporting on the same exact series of facts and plays that played out in front of them. So, a really bad day for the offense or offensive line, all of them are going to say the same thing. That sucked. So, I read four different tweets, but it's from the same day that was bad. You know, if the Patriots come out to lose 42-3, no matter how many different ways that I write it or read it, it's only one loss. You know, so it's a bad day in training camp. It's a bad offensive day in training camp. And the flip side is perhaps the defense is just awesome and they are going to be one of the best defenses in football this year. However, let's be real about a few things here. Number one, Mac Jones did improve. He's any type of elite quarterback last year. He was the best of the rookies. But that doesn't say anything. It doesn't say a damn thing. He should have been. He had the best roster around him. He had the best coaching around him. He had far more resources at his disposal than anybody else did as a rookie QB last year. Mraz, what were the rookie quarterbacks? Number one, Trevor Lawrence, who begins his career on the worst team in football and coached by the worst coach
Urban
Meyer.
Number two, Zach Wilson.
Zach Wilson on one of the worst teams in football.
Injuries all over the offense for him.
Was last year Saleh's first year coaching?
Yes, it was. It was. And all of his weapons kept getting hurt.
So Zach Wilson surrounded by one of the worst rosters in football, no offensive weapons, and a first year head coach.
And had a quarterback in Mike White who won two games that everybody go crazy that he should be playing.
Number three was Trey Lance.
Yep.
Trey Lance barely got in last year because it was a team that ultimately went to the NFC Championship game with Jimmy Garoppolo. Number four was Justin Fields. That was the next QB taken?
Yes. That was the pick where the Bears traded up to number 11 and took him.
Again, surrounded by one of the worst rosters in football. Didn't begin the season as the starter. There was the whole Matt Nagy, Nick Foles, trying to keep their job type of thing. Ultimately, they put Justin Fields in there, and Fields wasn't terrible. Everybody around him was just an absolute nightmare, and they couldn't keep him upright. And then it was Mac Jones?
Mac Jones at 15, yes.
That was the fifth quarterback selected.
Yes, and then a sixth obviously played all year in Davis Mills, who was taken in the third round.
And Davis Mills. And Davis Mills played for one of the worst teams in football, hypothetically the best or the worst team in football in the Texans, with a lame duck coach in David Culley, a first-time head coach who ultimately got fired after one season and was actually not that bad. So, no offense to Mac Jones, but I get sick and tired of hearing, but he was the best rookie quarterback last year. Well, how about some context? Everybody else was on really terrible non-playoff teams with lame duck coaches or first-time coaches. Mac Jones was installed as the starter in the preseason, had no competition, which is why they jettisoned Cam Newton, and was coached by Josh McDaniels, who had been there forever as the OC, and one of, if not the greatest head coach in football. And and had one of the best defenses in football as well. So if he wasn't the best rookie quarterback last year, it would have been really, really, really bad. Number two, that offensive line has been in pretty swift decline for the last couple of seasons. And they've tried to piece it together, but they have whiffed a couple of times. And the Patriots were always defined by steady, solid offensive line play. They had it back in the early 2000s. They had it through the next part of the dynasty as well when they won their other three championships. Brady is elite. Brady's the all-time best. Brady's release and understanding the defense, always awesome. But the Patriots' offensive line was never terrible. It has suddenly become such in the last couple of years, at least leaky. We'll say leaky. Number three, well, you lose Josh McDaniels, and he's been the primary play caller for how many years now? They didn't bring in another offensive mind. They don't even have a real OC. They're kind of sharing the responsibilities, not naming an offensive coordinator. Matt Patricia, Joe Judge, Bill Belichick, everybody's chipping in. Matt Patricia's been a defensive guy his whole life. Now he's moving to the offense. They don't have a single offensive mind who has streamlined a system over the years, who is installing it or has had it installed. It's distinctly possible this is just one bad day for the Patriots offense. But it's distinctly possible they're going to be bad. It's just as possible that it's just one random bad day in training camp as it is that the Patriots offense is going to be bad. And so what ends up happening in sports, and I am not absolving myself of this, this happens all the time, what you've seen is what you expect. What you have seen is what you expect. And what we've seen is the Patriots figure it out. They'll always figure it out. You think there's problems. You think they lost a lot of talent. You think they went cheap here, there, the other place. That you think they lost all this talent from the coaching staff. They lose assistants all the time. They'll figure it out. Well, there's a lot of reasons to believe this year they won't figure it out. And there's a lot of reasons to believe this is a franchise in decline. And because we've seen Bill win, and because we've seen the Flying Elvis logo be in so many playoff games, we just assume it continues. At some point, it doesn't. This very well could be a franchise in decline. Tom Brady left, and Tom Brady kept winning. And the Patriots fell off a cliff. The Patriots tried Cam Newton. That was a nightmare. The offense was awful all season long. And forget the first couple of games of the season. That was the pandemic. Nobody had film on anybody. There was no training camp or preseason. Once we got into the teeth of the season, Cam Newton's 2020 was awful. And the Patriots missed the playoffs. Last year, kind of looked good. Patriots were decent midway through the season. And then as soon as games started really counting late in the year and they played better teams, they lost all those games. And then got to the playoffs against a superior team, against the Bills, and got their doors blown off. Now in an AFC where Broncos got better, Raiders got better, Chargers got better, plus Bills, Chiefs, are all really good. Ravens are healthy. They weren't last year. If Deshaun Watson plays for the Browns, we'll see about the Bengals. The Titans were the one seed. The Colts add Matt Ryan. There's not a lot of easy wins around the AFC. The Dolphins should be better with Tyreek Hill. The Jets should be better after a good offseason in year number two for Wilson and Saleh. You're not out of gimmies anymore for the Patriots. And if the Patriots are just a middle-of-the-road AFC team, let's just say out of the 16 teams in the AFC, they're the ninth-best team. That could be a losing season. It could have a losing sub-500 season and be out of the playoff race by, you know, mid-December. So it could be a bad day. It could also be a franchise in decline as everybody else got better and they didn't, and they're trying to patch it together with a quarterback who's fine, but he ain't the talent that everybody else is that is of his age group, and that this is something that seems shocking to a lot of people, but is actually the new norm that is absolutely in play for this Patriots franchise. And you guys might say, well, D.A., you're rooting for that. You're rooting for that. Hey, maybe I am. But you can't say the facts don't suggest that could happen as well. And when I see the always optimistic Boston media going after training camp and not doing the, oh, it's only training camp, I know they know. When we come back here on the show, it's a Trash Tuesday. D.A., CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
So, what's eating you?
People that get in the left lane and drive the speed limit.
I gotta trash the NFL, man.
Trash my ex-girlfriend.
You want me to trash that?
Trash Tuesday, my favorite day of the week, not for nothing.
Time to vent. We take it out like the trash. It's Trash Tuesday.
All right, listen to us on the free Odyssey app. Bring us your trashes. DA on CBS. Mraz, lead us off.
D.A., this has been a trash, might be an annual summer trash for me, but it needs to be brought up again as I had experienced this a couple weeks ago in Sesame Place and had a friend experience this week at a water park called Splish Splash. Get your kids under control. A lazy river is a lazy river. I am so sick and tired of getting my fat ass squeezed into a tube to sit there and float around this river full of chlorine and, you know, fallen leaves and being pushed around. It's like a moat. And yet there's just horseplay going on. It is a lazy river. You can frolic through the wave pool. You want to jump off a tube while on a slide and get kicked out of the park. That's your business. It is meant for relaxation Not for everybody to be jumping out, kids screaming, throwing tubes at each other, and running through the lazy river. A lazy river is to remain lazy, and we need to start enforcing this all over water parks all over this country.
Okay, trash them.
That deserves a trash can emoji.
Bad children behavior at these places, huh?
Yeah, it's just to get your kids under control. Tell them to stay lazy or get out.
Are your kids under control?
They will be the lazy river, maybe not elsewhere.
Okay.
But I'm talking about like 13-year-olds, 12-year-olds. Teach your kids manners.
Gotcha. So rambunctious preteens.
Yeah. I'm getting hit with a tube here. Let me just lay down and look at the big bird spouting the water out.
Okay.
Wait, so you got bullied by preteens at
Happens
Sesame
every
Place?
Year now. Great Wolf Lodge. People don't know how to just sit in a tube and float.
They have flower socks?
It's like our minds are going a million miles an hour. Just float in a tube. It's the essence of the ride. It's all the ride is meant to be. That's all we're asking you to do.
No. Okay. Pete the Body, who are you trashing?
I am trashing Steve Holman, who is the voice of the Atlanta Hawks.
Oh.
Because he had, not for his great career, but for his terrible Twitter etiquette.
Oh.
Let's go back to Sunday when the Mets were about to take 4-5 from the Atlanta Braves.
Yeah.
So he puts out there, right when Jacob deGrom is dominating the Braves, he puts out, do Mets fans know who won the World Series just last year? I believe 1986 was 36 years ago. Okay, fine. You know, that's warranted.
Right, you can always hang the 86 on.
Right, right. Yeah. So I then reply.
Oh!
I reply, nothing harsh to, you know, warrant the reaction.
Yeah.
I reply, I know the team that lost 4-5 to the Mets today.
Yeah.
Referring to the Braves.
Uh-huh.
Blocked.
Oh.
Wow, you got blocked.
I got blocked for that comment.
You know, it's funny that you bring this up. A guy that I really like, Barrett Salee, who does college football for CBS.
Another one.
He, throughout the entire weekend, big Atlanta Braves fan, big Atlanta sports fan. And we've talked about it before on the show, and I gave him his run in October when they won, and we were talking college football with him, but he got to gloat a little bit about the Braves. Tweeted, "Woo, buddy, the inevitable downfall of the Mets is going to be epic." Now, look, I get it that the Mets have been choke artists for a long time. Like you said, 86 is a long time ago, and the Braves just won a World Series. But you're going to talk as an Atlanta fan about other fan bases' epic collapses?
Exactly.
I mean, you're a Falcons fan. You're a Braves fan. You're a Georgia Bulldogs fan. I know Georgia just won the championship, but again, all teams known as just complete choke artists. So, look, I gave the Braves their due in October. Bogus and Bilotti hated me for it, but I believe in giving winners their due. The Mets just took 4-5, opened up a 7-game lead in the division, and all Braves fans can say is how bad the Mets suck.
Yeah, they're bad losers.
And won last year, which has zero application to now.
I mean, really?
Losers.
Wow. They're
horrible losers.
How quickly they have forgotten how bad they've been losers for how long. I mean, since 95, and even before that, it's just been choke after choke after choke after choke by the Braves.
Right, but I've had all those division titles and only two championships. Yeah. I mean, get lost.
They won the NL East for 15 straight years and got one ring out of it. And they're going to start barking about, you know, epic collapses?
Yeah, be honest, though. The Met fan, but not you guys, getting a little annoying.
Oh, here we go.
Boy. No, they're not.
I don't know. DA actually doesn't partake in this. But the social media, and it's a little, I do it with the Nets, it's a New York thing, the second franchises, when they come about and have their big year every so often, there's something about it comes across a little, and I'm guilty of this, it comes across a little annoying.
Look, are New Yorkers obnoxious? No doubt about it. Are we loud and brash? No doubt about it. But if you're watching this series this weekend, and you're the Braves getting pounded into submission, you can't gloat. You just got to go away. I mean, this is not your time to be picking on the other team that just destroyed you. They ended the division in early August.
What they can't do is if the Mets beat them in the playoffs, they also can't shut it down and point to last year either. Then you better be sticking around if you're going to be. Steve Holman better unblock and accept the heat.
then you got the other pitcher on Sunday, Strider, who's out there basically saying it was all the Mets falling into mistakes and luck. I mean, come on. He got his ass kicked.
He's a dumb rookie.
Get lost.
He said luck doesn't happen in October as if he was around last October. He lost like the rest of us did.
Yeah, it's weird. It's weird.
Well, get him out. Enough. I mean, I didn't do it warrants a block on that, so get lost.
That's just offensive.
And that's the other part, too. When you're going to say things that you know people are going to respond how do you then block people?
Yeah, you're right. You're right. If it's unwarranted aggression on Twitter and you just, like, want to get away from it, totally get it. But you can't lob a grenade, then get the return shrapnel, and then start blocking everybody.
Plus, there's a mute button. Mute Blotty if you want to never hear from him again without the satisfaction or the bad look of you actually getting the block notification. You can mute him, and he'll never know.
Yeah.
And you don't have to hear from him.
Omen better not be applying to run the board here because Pete's not going to have it.
I block the porn bots on Twitter, but regular people, there's no reason to block them. Just mute them.
Caserta, so why don't you just mute the porn bots?
I've never thought of it that way. I didn't think that far ahead.
Yeah, but those probably should be blocked just so they don't actually trick you into having your account hacked. Like, you need those as far. Like, you need them off the board altogether.
Yeah. All right, AB, who are you trashing?
So, my wife and I have a favorite burger spot in the area. In particular, because my wife loves a lamb burger. So, lamb, all this Mediterranean stuff going on top.
Sunday, I've had one of those.
Sunday, she goes, I'm feeling like a lamb burger. Let's order from this place. Okay, great. Now, the last time, a couple months ago, we made the order. Same thing. Lamb burger comes. It's supposed to come with a little side cup of tzatziki sauce that you would add on to the lamb burger.
Yeah.
As my wife's opened the container, immediately gets a whiff of like a sweet, sugary smell and goes, as she's about to pour in her lamb burger, it's not tzatziki sauce, it's fluff. It's for a dessert.
Ew.
Yes. So she calls the place, this is months ago, calls the place and goes, somebody made a mistake. In case it happens again, I'm just letting you know that your fluff is too close to your tzatziki, and that's a big thing. The woman on the phone could not have cared less. Fast forward to Sunday. Order comes, delivery. The wife sits down, goes, ha, 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 let's see if it's fluff again. Opens up, it's fluff again.
Oh, my goodness.
So now it's like they've got fluff in the tzatziki bin in the fluff, or there's never been tzatziki, or they have the worst tzatziki ever. And now it's not an accident. Now this is like malpractice. So this little burger spot in Rockville Center, New York, get yourself out.
Oh,
learn
man.
What tzatziki is.
Wow. Illegal dumping.
Would you make a fluff lamb burger here, Mraz?
Yes, I'd have it.
Of course you would.
No, because think about it. We've done peanut butter on the regular burger, and it ended up being a pivotal point in American history.
Sure.
If you do fluff on a lamb burger, maybe it might work. Now, again, the fluff's got to spread. Sometimes sticky fluff doesn't spread well. If you got a nice spready fluff, it's worth a shot.
Fluff on lamb? I think that's a terrible combination.
That's a Greek recipe for tzatziki.
Just order a regular burger. What are we doing?
It's a fluff base. Our own proprietary blend.
It's a fluff base.
That's awful.
I tell you, the second time that's happening, I'm in the car over there, and I'm making sure.
Yeah.
Well, thankfully, the first time she didn't spoil the burger. She knew it was fluff because it smelled of melted marshmallow. And this time she did it as a joke to check for it. But, like, somebody somewhere has definitely dumped fluff on their lamb burger. And this is now months where it's still happening.
It could be dumping fluff on gyros.
Anything.
All souvlaki.
I just want to know what the dessert is on the menu that requires the fluff in a cup.
Yeah,
tzatziki sauce.
Does fluff go with anything aside from peanut butter? Is it used anywhere else?
S'mores, you doofus.
S'mores? Don't you just use regular marshmallows?
No, but like a s'more dessert with a graham cracker crumble, like a brulee with a chocolate.
A brulee.
With a spoon.
Okay. I just would.
But doesn't that begin as a marshmallow? Like, they're not putting fluff on that. They're melting a marshmallow.
Yeah, you're melting it down. It's a fluff.
Right, but he means the actual canister
of
fluff.
Yeah, like the jar.
Yeah, like, what are you using that for?
You could spread it on a rice cake.
Ew.
Well, again,
you guys are undervaluing marshmallows.
Why even have the rice cake?
I'll have a rice cake.
Really? Yeah.
Cut out the rice cake.
You went
at that point.
You wanted to cut calories and went rice cake, and then added melted marshmallow on it.
It takes away the bread. You guys need to learn something about dieting.
It's the same thing as I'll do the salad, but in the giant taco shell. I'll do the soup in a giant bread bowl. Yeah. It's like so unnecessary.
This is the guy on front that said he eats cleaner than me, and he puts fluff on a rice cake, and we're the idiots.
We need to learn more about dieting. Sign the guy that tried to lose 100 pounds and gained 20.
And I'm learning how to not diet. You guys don't diet. You just live your life frolicking like these skinny string beans all over the place. What is fluff? Why would we even put it on a rice cake?
Don't know if you noticed. What is that? Don't know if you noticed, but Pete and Bogish have dieted and lost weight and kept it off.
I'm on the rice cakes now. They cut out the carbs. You can put anything you want on a rice cake.
You had a fat journal for 4 months.
Right, and you can eat a cutlet sandwich between two rice cakes. I got news for you. You're losing more weight than you were if you were eating enough bread.
How could you point the finger at two guys who have dieted successfully, have both lost weight and kept it off, and say, you guys don't know how to diet correctly. I do.
I've lost weight. Look at that fat picture of me in 2013.
Dude, I lost weight.
That's insulting. I have. I got Pete Tuckett in his shirt here. It doesn't look like a diet to me.
Fat.
I mean, again, we created a fat journal.
Fat.
John Sterling read it. And since then, I've got Justin Shackle highlights to play because that's what they used to finally win the battle with Sterling and take some days off. We needed a fad journal. It's your fault. And we're the skinny ones. We're the wrong ones.
I'm here for
hash a go-go.
Yeah. John. Hey, it's Odyssey Management.
Go-go.
We think it's
St. Patty's drink count. 1 yardstick Kona, big wave. 4 Corona Premieres with green dye.
And now he only works in the Eastern time zone.
That's dieting correctly.
Right.
6 Bud Light aluminum bottles, 6 Jameson shots at the 9 Fine Irishman party.
That's dieting correctly.
It was sure. 3 St. Patty's Day on vacation. Fremont Street. Diet was off.
I walked virtually the entire strip.
I had fluff on my rice cake.
I forgot after Yard House, I scooped up a Ghirardelli hot fudge sundae when the Jack Rabbit screwed me on an early big bet.
Get me Zanaboni.
That's died incorrectly.
Brazilian steakhouse group dinner, but I roughly consumed filet mignon, skirt steak, top sirloin steak, lamb, garlic, pork chop, chicken thighs, bacon wrapped chicken, various Italian meats.
Yeah, let's be fair, though, to Mraz. That was on vacation. He normally doesn't eat like that if he's at home. How many tacos did you have the night of the Bob's Bar Show?
That was a vacation day. It was Bob's Bar Show. That was the afternoon, and I had
a lot of tacos that day.
And then I topped it off with 4 slices of pizza at night. And had the bacon, egg, and cheese in show in the morning.
Just slide a rice cake in there. You could have been dieting.
But if I put the eggs and bacon on the rice cake earlier and then the cheese and sauce on a rice cake later, I'm cutting out carbs left and right.
Right.
We got that cholesterol.
It would have been 49,998 calories instead of the even 50 grand.
Thank God for that walk down the strip. Yeah.
The pounds would have just been melting off. Had I only eaten the 16 tacos, but put the bacon and egg and cheese on a rice cake.
Or did it before 5 o'clock, like he was also talking about.
I've graduated to bean pasta. Now, I have 4 bowls and 18 meatballs, and there's melted cheese on top.
Turkey meatballs.
But we're cutting out the pasta.
Raz lecturing other people that they don't know how to diet correctly when our entire show is built on a decade of you improperly dieting.
You go back to what I looked like in 2014, all right? I couldn't move my head side to side.
Is it a noticeable difference, picture-wise?
There's a no-limit picture I'm sure Cap can draw up.
I gotta go back and look that. I don't know what you look like.
Caserta, I just want to give you a heads up before you see this, and it's shocking. There was a night of the overnights where we got a White Castle Crave case, and the challenge was that Mraz would eat the entire Crave case. He got through about 2/3 of it, so that was like 24 hamburgers. And he swelled up like a balloon, and he's wearing a No Limit t-shirt. And he has a hat on. I think it's a Brooklyn Nets hat. His body became so puffy and swollen that the hat eased up on his head. And the shirt itself that said No Limit was crying for a limit. He needed some type of limit on this. And it just ballooned out, and we took a picture. And it is the most shocking and
Oh, I got to find this.
Pretzel bun?
The shirt was able to write on itself underneath the parentheses, I was wrong.
Help. Protein?
There's always a limit.
Oh, that must have been so uncomfortable.
Yeah, I'm sure Cap will pull that up out of the archives.
That was the shirt.
An all-timer. Greg Caserta's in. Who are you trashing?
You know, I was going to trash the Patriots offense, but I feel like that's kind of easy, and I feel like you guys will do that eventually.
Well, we just did that last segment.
So,
same thing.
So I'm going to trash the Marvel universe because they just keep rolling out more stuff. And it's losing its luster for me. Now, I'm not a diehard fan like some people are. I'm a casual fan at best. But with all the stuff that they're coming out with and they show you what's coming out in 2023 and beyond, just too much stuff.
Yeah.
And I know they're trying to get more stars in. They're bringing in more A-list people for little bit parts. Christian Bale was in one recently. Just enough's enough. We're seeing the same things over and over again. I'm losing excitement over it.
Trash him.
So frustrating.
So Christian Bale, who's Batman, can cross over into the Marvel Universe as a different character?
Yeah, he played a villain in the new Thor movie, which came out.
What are we doing here?
Right? So it's like, initially the appeal was, okay, cool. We're doing this. We're spacing out the movie releases. Now with Disney Plus, you're getting the TV shows, you're getting continuations of these different characters and their stories. Apparently Blade is a comic book character.
Yeah.
So they're doing a Blade movie now.
Now, was Blade the Wesley Snipes character?
Yeah.
And that was a comic book.
Which I didn't know.
And now they're rebooting
it
without Wesley, I guess, because he's probably in jail for tax evasion.
It could be.
Okay.
That might delay things.
Okay, well, I got it. I appreciate and respect everybody that works here at this office, usually.
Here we go.
I do think that, you know, by and large, we work at a good company with good engineers and good resources and good bosses. But the water situation is ridiculous. Oof. I mean, I'm going to hold up my canister of water that I have that I use every single day. Just for context, once upon a time, I would go to the break room during a commercial break. We have 5-minute commercial breaks. I would wash this out and I would put this under the spigot of the water cooler. And it would fill up and I would come back with approximately 90 seconds to 2 minutes left of the break. This is all I could get before I had to race back. This is, if you're not watching on the stream, is a third of the canister. It's coming out like a trickle. I mean, it's almost like I've got to gather water as it melts off of the polar ice cap. It's like running down a brook, and I have to try to collect it at the bottom of the brook.
It's just falling out of the machine instead of being, like, sprayed out of the machine. Like, only gravity is giving you water at this point.
It's slightly terrifying. It's almost, it's like being in Vegas in the middle of the drought in that lake that just keeps going down, like that there is no water left. And you've actually emailed our water systems people.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, sorry, construction's going on in the building. They had to turn down the water pressure. But to your point, Bogues, all the other water, our sinks work the same. Yep. Our toilets work the same.
Yeah.
Everything works the same except multiple water coolers.
The coffee machines that are next to the water coolers that have the same water supply line coming in, as far as I know, are making coffee at the same speed, which involves the water shooshing out of the machine.
This is a bizarre thing. So you can basically, it's like going to the dentist and you get those little water cups. That's all you can get each time you go. You just get like these little sample cups of water.
Now, I believe when I talked to him, I can go back and find the email. I think he, because the machines all say when the water flow gets low, email me because it means the filter has to change. So that's what I emailed him for. It's like, I think it's time for a filter change, you know, whatever. And then the response came back and I think he said the construction issues end this week, so we may be at the finish line here, but it's also gotten worse.
I'm not buying it.
Way worse.
It's got, it keeps getting worse.
It's a trickle.
So there might be, maybe there is less water pressure, but maybe also, too, it's time to change the filters again.
And, you know, I mean, you might just say, well, DA, just go buy your own water and bring it in. And that's true, but I'm trying to be environmentally conscious here by bringing in my own thing and filling it up. That's what you're supposed to do. And here, Merez just choking down to smart water right now.
Thirsty.
I thought that was taunting me because you bought your water and I did not.
Oh, I mean, it could be, yeah. I mean, just buy your water, dude.
I guess I'm trying to do what's right here by filling up a water container.
I assure you, you going to Costco for the 18-pack, nothing's going to change for the environment. It takes a bigger push than that.
Well, either way, this water situation is a disaster, and it's got to be trashed.
Oh, break out the hazmat suits.
Yeah, I don't need the bathroom sink water spitting out at me. I could maybe balance it off a little bit. Yeah.
We also still don't have soap in one of the bathrooms. So.
One?
Yeah, all of them.
Yeah, I love using the little dial hand soap, little pump. That's good. That's sanitary.
We've also got snack machines that take a dollar or don't take a dollar, and if they take the dollar, they don't give you the food you've asked for. We're off the rails here.
Incognito Man is trashing parents who think they're done when they drop off their kid at sports practice and then go to the bar for a drink or 10.
Whoa.
Hashtag.
Seems specific.
Trash them.
That's just offensive.
Steven is trashing people who drive golf carts on main roads and cause problems and backup traffic.
Hefty, hefty, hefty.
That's funny.
Mariana's trashing people who bring their sick kids to social gatherings and double trashing them for not wiping their nose because, surprise, now I'm sick and so is my son because I can't stand a kid with a runny nose. Hashtag hot garbage.
Total wasteoid.
And support from Rob, the 321 of all people, for Mraz. Mraz is not wrong on this take of a lazy river.
Rob's happy because he needed to message me at 3:30 a.m. today to tell me about Dean wanting to be buried next to his cat, and he's happy I took his sound.
Well, Rob also tweets out a picture of what appears to be kind of a memory wall at his house that says, "We have all the cremains of my animals. We also have my mom. My dad has the main urn on his dresser, and we have a small one and a dedicated wall to her." I believe this is the picture of a mini urn of Rob's mom.
Right next to the Barry Sanders bobbleheads? What are we doing in there?
No, again, it looks like a memory wall, Sean. It looks like there's prayer signs and...
That's very nice.
Not a Barry Sanders bobblehead. Okay.
I mean, you got
have some more water, Sean.
Okay. It's upstairs.
There's not an Aiden Hutchinson jersey on that wall.
It's very insensitive.
Okay. There's only so much shelf space in a house.
Really? What kind of generic, ridiculous take is that?
That's a sports minute.
Well, you have one cure, maybe?
You
one what?
What was that again?
A cure.
What's that?
It's like a glass closed shelving thing you put in your house.
You trying to say Keurig?
No, that's a coffee thing.
Maker?
No, a cure. It's like an armoire, but glass.
An armoire. I've never heard that word before. Might be right, but I've never heard that before.
Well, I think maybe you're talking about like collecting curios. A cure?
You know, that's it's like a glass.
I think it's called a hutch.
No, hutch is wood.
Cure is not a real thing. There's no way.
How would you spell cure?
Curio. I think that's a curio.
You just said that.
No, you said those are little dolls.
Cure. Well, yeah, no. A curio could be your collection of little things, but it can also be a large kind of glass enclosure.
I feel as if I've derailed the show this segment. I'm going to go check here.
Yeah. I think it's curio. I don't think it's cure, like an armoire.
I think it is.
Cure.
How are you spelling this word?
C-U-R-E-E, one of that little accent thingies, is part of the entrails of a hunted animal. Yeah, that's the same thing.
No, he means curio. Collection of things inside a big glass. Anyway, let's go back to the original point that Rob won't have a room for a shelf for an urn on its own because there has to be... There's only so much room for shelves in a house. So that he has to have a bobblehead next to an urn.
Everybody's got to put their bobblehead somewhere. Where are you putting them? Next to Ma.
Office desk, maybe?
What kind of take is this? There's only so much room in the house for shelving.
No, I got a mansion here.
Don't buy 500 bobbleheads then.
That's a Cosmo Kramer take right there.
AB has headlines.
Well, since Joe Tsai appears to be picking GM Sean Marks and head coach Steve Nash over Kevin Durant, let's revisit the KD trade market. The same sham Shirani report about Durant's ultimatum says the Celtics, Raptors, and Heat remain his top suitors. Boston's Jaylen Brown apparently still in play. For those wondering, the Yankees can win another baseball game.
2-2. Swing and a deep shot straightaway center field. Kelnick on his horse. He looks up. It is gone. Solo home run for Aaron Judge, number 44, coming in the Pacific Northwest.
Notable Fordham alum Justin Shackle on Yankees radio. Josh Donaldson also went deep in a 9-4 win in Seattle, ending the Bombers' five-game skid. but Matt Carpenter fouled a ball off his left foot, broke that foot in May, missed the rest of the season. The Mets beat the Reds 5-1 for a 7-game lead on the Braves in the NL East, and the Padres losing the Giants 1-0. That's a 5-game skid, back-to-back shutout losses for San Diego. And Colts linebacker Shaquille Leonard, formerly known as Darius, likely to miss the start of the regular season as he finishes recovering from back surgery.
Wow, Darius Leonard changed his name?
Yeah, I think you missed that. I think you were on vacation.
Yeah. Wow.
It was Shaquille's his first name. Darius is his middle name. Okay. Everyone calls him Shaquille or Shaq, but somehow we got to Darius for football playing reasons, but now he wants to be Shaq.
Got it.
And back surgery, probably misses the start of the regular season. How many exact games is the question at this point? DA, back to you.
Thank you, Bogues. When we come back here on the show, what happened at Oklahoma where Cale Gundy had to resign? DA, CBS Sports Radio. Welcome back here on the show. Remember, you can listen to us in hundreds of affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Also, you can listen to us on Sirius XM, channel 158 as well. So what's happening in Oklahoma is very interesting. And who knows if we ever get the full story, although I tend to believe we will. But what we had heard coming out of the weekend was that assistant coach Cale Gundy at Oklahoma with the Sooners, had mistakenly grabbed a player's iPad and read a word he should have never read. And the context there, or the interpretation there, is angry maybe at a player for being distracted in the film room, grabbed the iPad to see what the player was distracted by, read off something that he was reading, and happened to use a word that he not allowed to use. And he said, you know what? I'm going to resign. I shouldn't have done that. Well, the head coach at OU now, after Lincoln Riley left, is Brent Venables. And Venables gave far more context to it and kind of laid it out with more seriousness that it happened multiple times. So I want to talk about what exactly took place there coming up here next. And Jason Reed, author and ESPN NFL writer, is also next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.